This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a leading spokesperson in many of our country's ongoing national debates and has become a clear voice for those who are seeking a return to traditional conservative values. And now, here's Phyllis Schlafly.
Back in 1968, Paul Ehrlich predicted that the world would soon run out of food, oil, and water because people were having too many babies. He turned out to be spectacularly wrong on all counts, but political liberals still make doomsday predictions about overpopulation. Author Jonathan Last has a very different message. He says, if America wants to continue to lead the world, we need more babies. His new book is called What to Expect When No One's Expecting America's Coming Demographic Disaster. Author Jonathan Last says the country needs a fertility rate of 2.1 in order to maintain its current population. The U.S. fertility rate is lower. It now stands at only 1.9. Why has the American birth rate fallen so low? It's the result of many cultural forces, including the pill, college, more women in the workforce, delayed marriage, delayed childbirth, and higher divorce rates. Even Social Security and Medicare are factors. First, couples no longer rely on children to care for them in their old age, so they aren't as motivated to go to the trouble of raising them. Second, even those who want more children find it increasingly difficult to afford them. If current trends continue, by 2050, all of America will look like Florida, a state known as God's waiting room because of its disproportionate elderly population. The implications of all this are disconcerting. An aging population combined with low birth rates equals a contracting labor force, and a dwindling tax base coupled with massive increases in government payouts. By 2034, there will be only two workers to support each retiree's Social Security. This new book by Jonathan Last is called What to Expect When No One's Expecting America's Coming Demographic Disaster.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Whether the topic is health care, education, election reform, taxes, or protection of the family, your local state legislators need to hear from you. At eagleforum.org, join the blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, and you'll better understand the hot issues in your state. That's at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
John Stettmiller here. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our new sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They are a veteran-owned, Christian-based preparedness company. I know the owner, and I can tell you they share the same ideals and values that we do. From quality long-term food to self-defense and camping supplies, they have what you need to prepare. Great wholesale pricing, quality products, the best customer service. You just can't go wrong. One example, they have a one-year food package that includes a GMO-free vegetables and fruits, plus real meat like roast beef and chicken breast. Over 2,000 calories a day for $19.95. Not your run-of-the-mill carb bucket like a lot of them out there. From stun guns, batons, tents, gas masks, chemical suits, the list goes on and on. One thing you'll learn over time is value is defined by quality plus price. You get that value with AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them that John sent you and receive a free knife with your order today.
Friends, it is Friday, July. Oh no, it's August 2nd. August 2nd, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Excuse me. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. I'm sure that you've noticed the new format. RBN is now associated with Cumulus Media Network Satellite Services, which provides a 24/7 satellite channel to RBN on XDS. That means that 4,000 affiliate stations can pick up all of the RBN programs. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com. Another site that I wish to draw your attention to is SpingolaSpeaks.info, which was created by one of our listeners. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@Spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour at 800-313-9443 after we open the phone lines. Our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And you ought to read these articles. There's a whole index listing of them on the left-hand side of the page. Just amazing, amazing work. Welcome to the program, Carl.
Thanks, Deanna.
Are you there?
How's it with you, then?
Have we lost Carl?
Oh, no, I'm here. Hello?
Oh, okay. I guess I missed. All righty.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, good. Yes, thank you. I don't know what's going on, but glad you're here.
Well, I'd say, how's things with you, then?
Very well. And you?
Oh, same old, you know.
Right.
Get on with things.
Sure.
Right. Our subject for today, National Socialism, the Third Reich, and the occult, as well as the role that Jews play in all this, which is, of course, one of my interests. The first thing to say is that it is a myth, and it is a very badly evidenced myth. It's grown up alongside of the Holocaust. In fact, in many respects, it has become an ancillary to the Holocaust legend. The explanatory power of the myth is related primarily to the subject of what it is talking. It's talking about the Third Reich, it's talking about National Socialism in the 1930s, 1940s, and the crimes that are associated with the Third Reich, whether they be real, fake, or otherwise. Now, the key thing to understand is that what this all completely ignores is the Third Reich attitude to Christianity. Now, to understand why it's a myth, we have to understand some of what the Third Reich thought about Christianity. Now, a lot of people get very, very confused about the Third Reich attitude to Christianity because there is a fine differentiation involved in that it was held that that you could, that you had freedom of conscience. You could worship who you wished. But the logic was that if you in any way politicized that worship, if you suddenly said, I'm a Christian or I'm a Muslim, therefore you must do what you must do, you get the government must do what my religion tells me you should do, then there would be a problem. This is what they called political Christianity or political religion. And they had a whole subsection dealing with that. Also, the Reich attitude has been coloured by interpretations. Now, like the Holocaust, a lot of things get said about it by cherry-picking comments from leaders and so forth. The interesting thing about it is that there is very little evidence of the Third Reich being particularly anti-Christian. In fact, the only really strongly anti-Christian member of the entire there's two anti-Christian members of the bureaucracy, higher bureaucracy. That would be Martin Bormann, famously Hitler's secretary, and president of the Nazi Party, and Himmler, of course, head of the SS. But the interesting thing is that Himmler was actually far less anti-Christian than Bormann. Bormann being an atheist, Himmler being a pagan or a deist, depending on your view. Now, the important thing to understand with the Nazi Party is that it was a bit like the Republican Party in some respects, in that the Republican Party has a hardcore following of intellectuals who are heavily associated with libertarianism. Now, that doesn't reflect what the Republican Party may put out, may actually believe in its lower tier, at its base, in its general membership, or even among its leadership at times. But at the same time, that is the image that gets projected. In much the same way, the Third Reich had a coterie of neo-pagan and quite anti-Christian intellectuals associated with it who opposed Christianity, but it fundamentally has been coming out in the last, I'd say, last decade to 15 years in scholarship that this is that the picture as presented by just reading these intellectuals is completely wrong, and that the Third Reich was very much a Christian state and the Nazi Party was a Christian party. In large part because recent studies of the SA and the Nazi Party membership have shown that, for example, that the big money benefactors that are claimed to have supported the NSDAP, in fact, didn't contribute very much, and that it was actually lots of small donations and so forth. And that these people were often highly Christian and very much, you know, opposed to Bolshevism on religious grounds, opposed to Jews on religious grounds, and so forth. It kind of acts as a point of understanding that we need to sort of get past this idea of, you know, the satanic pagan Reich that was put out. Now, the explanatory of the myth is related to someone's belief or unbelief in the evil of the Third Reich. You have to believe the Third Reich is evil to believe it's an occult state, and you have to part of that is you have to believe that the occult or Satanism or whatever you call it is the paradigm of evil. Therefore, you naturally try and associate the two if you are trying to explain something that you cannot otherwise explain. And the point of bringing up the Christianity of the Third Reich is really quite simple, because it is primarily among American or English-speaking Christians that the belief in this occult Reich is very, very, very common. Indeed, it was in English language literature that this was actually propagated. And the fact is that what they were trying to do by adopting this particular attitude is to explain Hitler, to explain what they perceive to be the evil of the Third Reich, the Holocaust, so-called, and all the other associated crimes. And it was part of a broader campaign to demonize National Socialism, as well as fascism, actually, in order to distance sort of Christianity from them, and therefore allow Christianity to continue and not to be attacked by the left as it was at the time. In essence, it is a kind of reactionary mechanism of saying, well, we're not associated with that because they were in fact devil worshippers, because that in a Christian point of view would be the ultimate evil. And this, of course, has and the, this, of course, has been heavily manipulated by Jews, because the point is that if for a Jew, you are promoting in any way nationalism or, you know, patriotic views, then you must be associated with, you know, the devil, or their kind of version of evil, and thus what they sort of project upon the Zionist Christians and the like is this idea that sort of that anything like that is evil, that the expression of what they might call criticism of the Jews, anti-Semitism, the Third Reich, is, you know, was satanic, was part of the occult, was part of a occult conspiracy against the Jews, and it all kind of fits quite nicely in for the Zionist Christians in terms of their ideology.
Indeed. All righty, we are going to a break. We will be back in 3 minutes.
Flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Carl Radl, R-A-D-L. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And I'm sure you'll bring up the Thule Society and the occult
groups
of Nazism. I mean, there's a couple of books that really promote this nonsense.
There's not just a couple, there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. Well, the two that I was thinking of, the occult roots of Nazism and the Nazi occult.
I mean, the big book, I think, this will certainly, there's there's two stages in this myth. The first stage is the development of the myth. The myth itself largely comes from a British occultist called Lewis Spence, otherwise unremarkable. But he wrote a book in 1940 called The Occult Causes of the Present War, in which he included two chapters. One was called the Nazi Pagan Church, one was called the Nazi Pagan Religion, both of which developed this idea of the satanic Nazism, you know, Adolf Hitler being an occult magus doing black magic, to Spence, it was kind of a battle of, you know, British white magic against German black magic, in much the same way that Gerald Gardner, the founder of Wicca, would later write in his Witchcraft Today that there was this big ceremony in the south of England during 1940, during the Blitz, during the potential invasion of Operation Sea Lion, and that these quote white witches drove the Germans away. This is the kind of attitude you're dealing with, but it folds into a much larger attitude in terms of British intellectual life, because the way that the enemies had been presented in the British intellectual discourse, as well as popular discourse, always was as the opponent of Christian Protestantism in England, i.e., England is the true Christian nation with a Christian mission to the world, and so forth. And for example, the Irish were Irish Republican Army, and excuse me. The Republicans in general were styled as being sort of superstitious papists who were against progress. They wanted to create a Bolshevik country in Ireland and so forth. That was the theme there. But when you compare it to the people who to the way that the British talked about the Germans in World War One, then you see there's a concordance there, because the British, big British theme of British propaganda in World War One was the Germans were the Hun. They were barbarians. They were these pagans. They, you know, the association by the fathers of the church with paganism and Satanism. So they were kind of a satanic pagan force. They sort of bayoneted babies. They bayoneted nuns or shot nuns, etc. And this was the kind of propaganda that was put out. And this carried on as a subtext to British right-wing discourse during the 1920s, 1930s, which can be very easily seen by any of your readers who have got Nesta Webster's 1931 book, The Surrender of an Empire, because before Hitler has risen in Germany, she talks about Hitler as being the personification of pan-Germanism, as being this kind of pagan force, this anti-Christian force. And Webster herself talks about the National Socialist Movement as being this kind of anti-Christian force, this force that was possibly controlled by the Illuminati, and so forth. And you can see that the premonitions of that, if you look at subversive movements and secret societies, or whichever way around it is. She has a whole chapter on pan-Germanism, and she argues in much the same way in her Bosch and Bolshevik, and so forth. So you get this kind of theme going of this, you know, pagan force, this, you know, blood-drinking savages, that kind of image. And that then gets reinforced by Lewis Spence, who writes The Occult Present War. It doesn't make a big splash, but it makes an effect. It's part of a bigger campaign that you see mentions of this idea of the pagan National Socialism in people like Edgar Murrow's work, and people like that. But it's at that point, during the war, it's a sub-theme at best. It's not a massive, thing. But after the war, as I said, Christianity was on the defensive. It needed to explain why it was perceived as having been involved with the Third Reich, and why German Christians and Italian Christians had fought with the Third Reich against the Allies and so forth. So what they began to turn to was this kind of almost trying to find an explanation for the rise of Hitler and the rise of what the Second World War was. And part of that was this creation of the occult Reich myth. And it was really fed by a series of occultists, a German occultist who claimed after the war that Hitler had been their student. They had known Hitler in the 1920s or during his time in Vienna as an occultist and had contact with him and so forth. Academics just dismiss this pretty much out of hand as a rule because they don't make any sense, and I'll come on to that a bit later. But a lot of Christians picked this up, and they picked it up particularly through a particular book, actually, called The Morning of the Magicians, written by Jacques Bergier and another author, although I can't remember the name at the top of my head, one of whom was Jewish, one of these authors, and they argued that Hitler was this great magician, and his rhetorical abilities were born of black magic and so forth. Other people who have popularized this myth include Trevor Ravenscroft, who thinks that if you wave a crystal and have dreams, that equates evidence, and he's the big theorist in relation to Hitler and the spear of destiny. And then you get there's a series of French authors like Louis Sundberg, who's also Jewish, who co-wrote The Occult and the Third Reich, which was a big important book in arguing the case by bringing in the figure of Otto Lahn into the situation, quite ahistorically, I might add, but there you go, as kind of an occult magus who worked with the Third Reich. And so forth. And you get up to these Zionist Christian texts like Dusty Scalar's The Occult and the Third Reich. And then you go to the modern material, like, for example, Peter Lavender's The Unholy Alliance.
Right. Yes, all of the, there's so much evidence. And when you look at who's written them, it's pretty significant.
Well, it's who's written them as well. It's the fact that they tend to have one or three things in common. Either they are involved with the occult as in quote white magicians, therefore they want to prove the power of the occult. What better way to do that than associate it with the most evil regime known to man, or as people perceive it, I should say. Or they are associated with very strong, very biblical based Christianity, and they want to kind of treat the National Socialism as the opposite of Israel. Therefore, National Socialism is evil and satanic, and Israel is this kind of godly state. Or they're Jewish. So they've all three of them have a very obvious motive for writing what they do and for espousing what they do. But it's just interesting the way it all works. And for a great example of this kind of where scholarship has completely rejected the conclusions of this popular literature is on the famous table talk of Hitler. Hitler's table talk, sorry, that was produced by Trevor Roper. When it's actually the anti-Christian comments in there actually derive from a man named François Genoux, who was an anti-Christian National Socialist who survived the war and acquired this text of the Bormann document, as it's sometimes called. And he, we believe, added the text, according to German scholars as of late. But this has yet to filter through to the English-speaking world, by and large. And, of course, you often see these groups, these people like Peter Lavender, use the table talk habitually. And they don't take into account the fact that this has been completely rejected by scholarship.
Indeed. All righty, we are going to a break. We will be right back.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. This is just very interesting because this is so prevalent, these beliefs about the occult. And you can see now, the way that you're explaining it, the motivation behind it all.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very much a case of, shall we say, selective interpretation in terms of history. I mean, it's very, very common, as I'm sure you and most of listeners, if not all of listeners, know in terms of the Third Reich, in terms of modern history, as well as to some extent, history in general. But it's very much a case that you have to know who is writing the history, because if you don't know who is writing the history, then you don't know what biases, what you know, intellectual requirements or ideological need are being brought to the table. And that's something that has certainly come out in the in relation to the Third Reich in history, in that there's a lot of people who have a very deep ideological need to see the Third Reich as the paradigm of evil, and thus they link it to just about anything they consider to be evil. To give you an example, there is a an anti-Islamist author who's a Zionist Christian who believes that the Third Reich was going to be an Islamic state. Now, how he gets that, I really don't know. I've read his book and I read it and I thought, okay, what are you talking about? Because basically he works on the assumption that one person's book is going to be the foundation of this Islamic state. And it's completely balmy, but you get some idea of just the kind of, you know, belief systems you are dealing with when you deal with the Third Reich and perceptions about it. And a great example is, again, with relationship with Christianity, is that it's only really begun to come out in the academic literature in the last 10, 20 years, as I said. But we've begun to see Bormann as being the key to this whole, it being meant as the key to this whole myth. Because he is the one who prevented the direct link between Christian churches and the Nazi Party. For example, he categorically refused on many different occasions throughout the existence of the Third Reich to allow any sort of a swastika to be put in any church, to allow Mein Kampf to be read at any church, for any kind of official NSDAP symbolism to be used in any church. And he wouldn't acknowledge any of the anti-Jewish Christian organizations that were quite important to the period where the National Socialism was trying to rise to power. And conversely, the neo-pagan elements, as I brought out, were quite influential as think tanks, because, for example, the Annenerbe, the SS's think tank, was primarily associated with paganism, particularly its two heads, Hermann Werth and Walter Wust. Himmler was, of course, as well as the Minister for Agriculture for most of the Third Reich, Arthur Daly, and then you've got the figure of Otto Rahn, who I'll come into in a minute, and then you have also Karl Maria Willigut, who is sometimes called Himmler's Magus. Again, all very closely associated with this neo-pagan intellectual grouping, but themselves not powerful except for Himmler and Daly. Excuse me. Now, they would just briefly point out about Otto Rahn. There's a lot of myths about Otto Rahn, mainly because he is still a New Age a darling, if you like. He's a figure they like because of his two books, Heretics Journey and Lucifer's something. I can't put the couple of names off the top of my head. And he talks about, you know, his quest to link the Holy Grail with the Cathar movement and so forth. Now, Rahn himself was a bit weird because he was not a pagan. He didn't particularly like Christianity, but at the same time, he wasn't anti-Christian in the sense of being intellectually so. He was opposed to the inquisitional style of Christianity, particularly as enunciated by people like Bernard of Guy. He eventually killed himself, in 1939, because he was possibly bipolar and may have had a bit of a rough time because there'd been charges of homosexuality levelled against him and so forth, and he probably killed himself, to be fair. And he is often painted by one of the Jewish authors I mentioned, Louis Sundberg, as being one of these key pagan authors. In fact, it's, as I said, he was nothing of the kind. He was actually more of a Gnostic, if he was anything. And it's this kind of thing. They take a figure. They'll take one figure. Often, in each book, will take a different figure or a different organization and attribute the Third Reich's occult nature to that particular individual. And Otto Rahn is one of the favorites. Comparatively, Karl Maria Willigut is less known, but he's arguably more important, being a key figure in terms of this promotion of neo-paganism in the Third Reich, and he was in many ways he was the designer of the famous Death Head rings and so forth.
Oh,
He was actually he was discovered by the SS in 1936, if memory serves, that he had served time in a mental asylum, and he was pretty much removed from the SS forthwith after that.
Let me ask you a question about Bormann. But Bormann is a very interesting character. Why did he try to disconnect Christianity and the NSDAP? What was his motive?
Because
there,
he hated it. One of the big things about Bormann that we know is that he hated Christianity in a way that is very difficult to actually locate the origin of it. It's just this broad hatred of Christianity in total, in any form, in any way. And Bormann was, in many senses, he was the only leader apart from Goebbels who was an atheist. But unlike Goebbels, he didn't have tact about it. He didn't say, you know, okay, I don't believe it, but I will allow people to believe it. I will allow other people to believe it. And that's the problem with Bormann, is that we don't know precisely the origins of his hatred of Christianity. All we know is that he hated it, and he hated it so much that he prevented an awful lot of associations that may have been helpful, may have not been helpful to the Third Reich at the time. And in doing so, it kind of created, laid the foundations for the myth of occult Reich, because it creates a false distance between the NSDAP in Germany and German Christianity, Christian thought at the time, compared to the NSDAP. It's one of these little things of history where you get someone who basically rewrites the book, the historical book, by being in the right place at the right time, and then their rewrite sort of plays into the ideological preoccupations of a given moment.
Okay.
In much the same way, a common figure who's brought up is a man named Guido von List. In fact, it's just Guido List, von being the aristocratic thing that a lot of occultists, in quotes, liked to bring up at the time, who wrote for various Volkish periodicals, what we call Volkish, as in folkish, as in nationalist, as in patriotic, periodicals that National Socialists or early Socialists had written with, or involved with. For example, he wrote for Theodor Fritsch's The Hammer, and so forth. The interesting thing about that is the fact that he's often brought up, but no one often explains how he fits, how he's supposed to fit in, apart from the people like Nicholas Goodrick Clark, who point out very rightly that he doesn't really fit in. He's a figure. He's basically an ideologue and a bit of a weird, some very, very strange ideas on the outside of the Volkish scene, who happens to share a common ground with a lot of people who later became involved in the National Socialism. A classic one, and I'm sure you've heard of it, is a chap named Lanz von Liebenfels, a former monk, a former Cistercian monk at Heiligenkreuz Abbey. He championed an idea he called theozoology, which is, I'm not going to get into the ideological preconceptions of it, but basically he sees the Aryan race was a divine race, and that every other race was a kind of apelings. He called them sodomite apelings and so forth. It was quite a bizarre character. The best of times, he had a lot of support. He had a lot of readers. But the interesting thing about Lanz von Liebenfels is his claim to association with Hitler. He claims that in 1909, Hitler turned up at his door, at his office door in Vienna, and he wanted two numbers of his periodical, Ostala, to complete his collection.
Oops. Oops. Okay, we're going... excuse me. We're going to a break. We will be right back.
That moment of panic, Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pick up at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
John Stettmiller here. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our new sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They are a veteran-owned, Christian-based preparedness company. I know the owner, and I can tell you they share the same ideals and values that we do. From quality long-term food to self-defense and camping supplies, they have what you need to prepare. Great wholesale pricing, quality products, the best customer service. You just can't go wrong. One example, they have a one-year food package that includes GMO-free vegetables and fruits, plus real meat like roast beef and chicken breast. Over 2,000 calories a day for $19.95. Not your run-of-the-mill carb bucket like a lot of them out there. From stun guns, batons, tents, gas masks, chemical suits, the list goes on and on. One thing you'll learn over time is value is defined by quality plus price. You get that value with AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them that John sent you and receive a free knife with your order today.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. All righty. This is just really fascinating. I just love this. I like to hear you're just such a scholar. I just really appreciate your work.
Thank you. Okay. So we were talking about Liebenfels and the fact that he claims in 1951, I should point out, that Hitler turned up in 1909 and he could remember him in 1909, this insignificant man, basically who wouldn't have been well-dressed at all, who turned up in 1909 at his office and said, can I have two, I'm looking for two back issues to complete my collection of Ostala, his Liebenfels magazine. And once you understand that that's everything that Lanz von Liebenfels bases is based on his connection with the Third Reich, you begin to sort of understand that there is no connection. It's just Liebenfels who in the early 1930s and late 1930s began to claim that the NSDAP and all fascist movements were in fact acolytes of his. And he was actually silenced by the NSDAP in 1938 after having been sued by them in 1934 for his statements. It's just this kind of thing that Liebenfels is used, but he isn't actually a decent source at all. He's just a source that everyone uses because he seems to have a cogent story, but then if you want to look at it and say, well, in 1951, how could you remember someone who was in 1909 and who wouldn't have been important at that point or even recognisable as the later man, then you ask the question of why. Why does he say this? And the answer is very simple. By 1951, he has become an irrelevance. He wants to become, you know, a famous figure.
Of course.
And that is the same story of many such German occultist legends. And that brings us nicely on to something you mentioned earlier called the Thule Society. Now, the thing about the Thule Society was that it was formed from various very different groups, for example, the German Orden and so forth, who were just basically aristocrats, industrialists, German nationalists, who had occult ideas. Now, the Thule Society is a bit of a weird one, precisely because it does have a connection with the NSDAP, but it's not the connection that a lot of these books make out, because they leave out some key information. For example, the Thule Society, its members were largely, as I said, aristocrats and industrialists. They were not run-of-the-mill workers. They had a couple of run-of-the-mill workers members. In 1919, they created a group. It was an official working group, which was supposed to create some propaganda ideas, and it was headed up by a man named Karl Harrer, and as president, who was a sports journalist, and Anton Drexler, who, as many will know, was the original founder of the NSDAP as its main activist. Basically, they spent 7 months talking about what they were going to do until Drexler sat down and said, "Okay, let's create a political party to advocate nationalist policies." And where everyone gets confused, they say, the Thule Society created the NSDAP. Well, no, it didn't. Yes, a member of the Thule Society was key in doing so, but it is but one of many groups that promoted a very similar ideology at the same time, and it's just one of many that many people were associated with, and Drexler himself was associated with with other groups as well, and so forth. It's one of these things where if we were to take this kind of logic and apply it to the history of Christianity, we would say, for example, that Christianity was at its root a Gnostic religion, when today most Christians would reject that out of hand. But it's the same logic being applied. And effectively, and despite the rumours, there were at this time no major NSDAP members were members of this party. That includes Hess, Lohm, Rosenberg, Goering, and Fedder. Now, the interesting thing that usually gets brought up is, for example, Rosenberg was a member, Hess was a member, and so forth. That isn't the case. They were not members. What connection they did have with the Thule Society was that they gave a couple of invited lectures before the members of the Thule Society, and we know this because we have the Thule Society's membership rolls.
Indeed.
And there is no point do these people become members of the Thule Society. Hitler certainly wasn't, and that myth again actually comes from Trevor Ravenscroft. He wrote that was the case, and it's completely false. And another common allegation is that Dietrich Eckart, who was Hitler's mentor, wrote Bolshevism Between Moses and Lenin, and he is said to have been a member of the Thule Society. Again, that's not the case. He was a member of what they call the List Society, so he was interested in the work of Guido von Liszt, but that doesn't make him unusual in the Volkisch Right at the time. And the interesting thing about Eckart is that he was key to the purchase of the Völkischer Beobachter, sometimes translated as the racist observer, more properly translated as kind of the national observer would be closer to the reality, I would argue. The Phil Society did indeed purchase the Völkischer Beobachter when it was a paper in, I think it was 1913 or 1914. It didn't even publish, it purchased it when it was commercially failing. But by July 1919, the Thule Society was falling apart. It was, its founder, who was Rudolf Zubotendorf, had been basically rejected by his membership because of his association with the Bavarian Soviet Republic, which is of course Jewish led, and the fact he had given or leaked the membership lists of the Thule Society to the Cheka
group,
and they proceeded to go and kill large numbers of the Thule Society.
Right.
So by April 1919, the Thule Society had rejected Zubotendorf, and by June 1919 he had stopped attending any Thule Society meetings whatsoever, and he became a kind of recluse. He became a figure. He was insignificant. He was so insignificant that the Third Reich never did anything about him, never cared about him, in spite of going after different people who were seemed to be enemies or had damaging information about leading members at a later date. For example, the famous Poison Kitchen, as it was called, newspaper that was launched against Third Reich by a Catholic journalist in Bavaria. That kind of people. He wasn't perceived as a threat. If he had been in any way as important as he himself claims in his memoirs, then he would have at least been clamped down on a bit, but no one particularly cared about him. And you can see that in the fact that in the sale for the Völkischer Beobachter, he sold it in July 1919, he sold basically a half interest to the NSDAP, to future NSDAP members like Gottfried Feder and Eckart and so forth. And then in 1920, it became the official NSDAP paper. But by that time, it was a completely different newspaper from it had been under Thule. It had been a commercial failure under Thule. It became to be a commercial success under the NSDAP. And that, in many ways, became the foundation of the Völkischer Beobachter. But, again, there's no relation to the Thule Society, other than the fact the paper happened to have been bought by the Thule Society beforehand, who, again, are just one group of many within this, within the Bavarian what we call the far right at this time. There was many other groups who were dealing with similar ideas. You had, for example, you had the Uni Club, you had the the German Orden, you've got the Arminerschaft, you've got the Reichshammerbund, you've got all these different groups who are operating more or less in the same area, more or less in the same intellectual turf, and they have a lot of connections between them and so forth. I mean, the interesting thing about it is that there was an odd historical figure called who we only know by his pseudonym Tanhali, who figures very prominently in. He's a member of the Thule Society, and he's a member of the Liszt Society. He has a lot to do with Eckart and so forth, but he suddenly disappears about in the 1920s. Presumably he died. We just don't know who he is historically.
All righty. We will be back at 6 after the hour, 6 minutes after the hour, so stay tuned.